act of your will to open your heart and rejoice. Because God is always God, no matter what we've been through. And then the miracle hand of God begins to work and God brings about His purpose. Amen? So I just think God wants us to loosen up a little bit. You know, my brother is here with us. They used to call us the Dukes of Hazzard. Or the, not the Dukes of Hazzard. They changed that and made it the Ukes of Hazzard. Because we were together for many, many years in ministry and God did incredible things. And it's kind of a pleasure to be back with Pastor Ted and sharing at this time. And I believe God wants to do something not only in you, but He wants to do it in us. And it's good to be here with Pastor Ralph and Christine. Of course, their boys and all the 10 Brinkies that we love. God wants to do something in the 10 Brinke family, I believe, this week too. And He wants to do something in the whole church. Amen? So we need to rejoice ahead of time and just kind of go for it. So I'd like the worship team to lead us in. I'm free to dance. And we're going to dance. Come on, everybody. It just doesn't hurt you a little bit to move your toe or do something. We can run. You know, I'm free to run. Move ahead a little bit. But begin to rejoice in God tonight because it sets the atmosphere free. It always does. And God wants us to be a people that enjoy His presence. Amen? So come on, let's go for it. I'm free to run and I'm free to dance. And I, come on, let's just kind of move tonight, okay? Where nobody else is watching, just God is looking over us. And He wants us to rejoice tonight in His presence because He's alive and well. And He's about to do miracles in Jesus' name. Miracles right now by the hand and power of God. Bless you, Lord God. Yes, oh God.
There's a set of keys found in the ladies' washroom. You can just announce that before you start preaching.
Okay. I'm free.
Yeah, absolutely, free. Absolutely.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's give Him a hand. We bless You, Lord God Almighty. You're worthy of all praise. Bless Your name, Lord Jesus. We lift You up and we adore You. Hallelujah. We exalt Your name. Thank You for Your presence. Bless You, O God. Hallelujah. Bless You, Jesus. Just the other day, we had our little granddaughter over. She's 3 years of age. She can really talk well, and she's such a darling little girl. You know what it's like to have the little three-year-olds. They're just at the time when you enjoy them so much. So we had her all alone, my wife and I, Lane. We had our little granddaughter with us for the whole night. We're having such a great time together, and I was sitting in my granddad chair, you know, Papa's chair, and I had pulled it out and was kind of sitting back, and I had her on my lap. Leaning back at my lap, she had her little house coat on, and she looked so incredible, and she was sitting on my lap and just so relaxed, and all of a sudden she turned back and she looked up and she said, "Papa, you're the best." It was absolutely amazing. And it made me think how much God enjoys when you open up. And you rejoice and tell Him that He's the best. Is He not? Amen. Everybody just say, "Jesus, You're the best." Hallelujah. Say it good and loud. "Jesus, You're the best. And I love You." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn to two or three or four or five or six people and say, "And You're the best too." You're the best. I got to keep saying that because you got to take care of me tonight. Really is a pleasure to be here again. I really can't count how many times that we've been here. And I count it a great privilege what the Lord has done because He established something in us. Just like the Apostle Paul, God gave the Apostle Paul certain places, certain churches where he had a fatherly or authoritative godly apostolic voice. And that releases something in the kingdom realm. Well, this is what's happened here with both my brother and I, that we know that this is a place that we can kind of say what God once said. And He creates an atmosphere in a church like that, and that's what I appreciate about this so much. Every time I come to Jubilee, I'm rejoicing all the way coming down, coming out of the city and just believing that God is going to do something here. Very, very awesome. I was captivated by, again this morning, so touched in my spirit, what I can see in faith, what God wants to do in Jubilee Faith Center, and how He's raising up a whole generation that is going to be powerful in the kingdom of God and do great things here in such an amazing way. And so we're excited about that. I'm just so glad that I can be a part of it, Pastor Ralph. And we can enter into it together and believe what God has spoken. He has spoken it literally for years, generationally now here. And God wants to bring it to pass. So we need to be very encouraged in our hearts. We should be rejoicing, not only for where we're at, but for where we're going. And what God has in His great plan to bring this to pass. And it's just such a great pleasure to be a part of that. And so anyway, the Lord gave me something that He just wants me to share with you tonight. And I believe that it's important that you see these things and grab onto it in your spirit. I'd like you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Colossians. I'd like you to open your Bible because I'm going to be going from verse to verse tonight and some of the things that I believe the Lord has put in my heart for what He wants to say to us. I have felt to talk to everyone here at Jubilee this week a general topic that I'm calling this Establishing a Small Town Mega Church. Everybody say that with me. Establishing a small town mega church. Now that sounds awesome, but that's what God's doing in the world today. And this church has been preparing for something for some time. God has been wanting to bring literally numbers of people to Jesus through this place. And we may not have seen it all come to pass as yet, but we're going to see it come to pass. And we need to be rejoicing in what God is doing. This is happening all over. I picked up a book that's called that very thing, The Small Town Mega Church. I'd like for the pastor to read this. I'll give this one to you because I can get another one. I think it's really, really important that we understand that God is saying something to the church today about what he's about to do. And I believe it's in Canada that he wants to bring a great move so that the nations of the world will see what's taking place in this country that we love. And God wants to so move in the church. He's not only going to move in city areas, he's going to move in towns all across the country. But he puts the Spirit in churches to help them lead the way and understand that this is his heart. To understand a mega church, it's not just numbers, although it is numbers. God loves people, and he's going to bring people to himself. But to understand it, we need to be a people that really know that mega churches are really churches that touch society. They bring change to the community that they're in, and that there's purpose in this. God wants us to literally be involved in education and many areas of politics. All kinds of things are going to rise up, and I speak prophetically right now from this house. There's a generation of leaders that are being born here, both men and women, to bring about the glory of God in the earth. What God has put in our spirit isn't for nothing. It's for great things. And we must believe what God has put in our hearts and have patience and keep the dream alive. Abraham was blessed because he believed what God said, and he would never give up on what God said. God had said to him that through him all the families of the earth would be blessed. Now that's a lot bigger than what we're saying by God's power tonight in this house. And he believed what God was saying to him, and God had established in his heart and never stopped it. He just kept on believing and believing and believing. And that's what God wants to do with you here. I believe this week he wants to refresh us in this and bring us alive in it by his glory. Amen. This was so strongly put in my heart just the last little while when I was meditating on the book of Colossians, and I was doing it just without having a time to preach or bringing it to people. God was speaking to my spirit from the book. And things that God was saying about that are keys to really the church being what God wants it to be in growth in the land of Canada and, of course, around the world. And I started to realize, really for the first time in my many years of ministry, that God was really allowing the Apostle Paul to speak to a very small town. Now, this is something that most people don't understand when they look at the Word of the Lord, but Colossae was just a small town, about 100 kilometers east of Ephesus, which is on the shore of Asia Minor, or Turkey as we know it now, was the town of Colossae, and it was a very small town. It seemed like it was a very insignificant town in the eyes of people that are around. But the apostle knew that in this place there would be incredible things that would break out to the glory of God, and that God would use the people from Colossae literally to touch society and bring change that was needed for God's power and plan. And little do we realize that the great apostle, who is a father of the faith, spent all this time imparting into this small town and imparting some of the greatest truths that we can grasp from the Word of God and get them deep into our spirit. The apostle took time to share those things and help them to understand how important they are. And Colossae was a very small town, just a little town. There were actually three cities in the area. The other two cities were much larger. Laodicea was one of them. And it was in a river valley. And there was a lot of opposition that was coming against the church. And things were happening, literally, that we see happening around us today. There was a very secular spirit. They called it in those days Gnosticism, which was really people seeking for knowledge above God and saying that they could do it without God by God's knowledge, or by their own knowledge, not God's knowledge. And so that spirit was penetrating all over that area and was trying to affect the church. Now that often has been happening in the land of Canada. And we are a people that need to learn and understand some important truths that God gives us in His Word that will help us to understand how that we can really see change in our locations. And the glory of God come in such an amazing way. The second thing they were involved in, which was called the heresy of that day, that there was a destructive river. The river had overswelled and the water had come down and it was about to destroy parts of the city. And they actually said that an angel had gone out and actually changed the structure of the river valley and caused the river to flow around the city. And because of that, at this particular time, everybody was worshiping angels. And as they were worshiping angels, all this was actually coming into the church. So the Apostle Paul felt it important to take time to share with these folks and help them to understand who Jesus is. And help them to know how great he is and how important he was so they could grasp and understand that it's his power that's going to make the change. So over these two things were happening. Knowledge was on a rise and actually putting angels ahead of Jesus, the apostle felt called of God to write some incredible things. Now I really believe that the Spirit of God has sent us here this week with purpose. Because God wants to say something to this house. I believe that this church has been established in something that's awesome in its worship. But God wants it to grow and multiply so that there will be an incredible force of God's worship that goes up from this house and Jesus is lifted up like never before. And God wants us to release ourselves in a true spirit of passion to bring it to pass. So it's so important that we see this. And we're not afraid of the fact that just because we're in a small town locality to believe that God can bring a move. All that God needs to do is bring miracle after miracle in this house and people will fill this place with the glory of God. The presence of God will come in such an amazing way. Wherever God is working in miracle power, things are happening and things are changing. And so we need to believe that His way will be accomplished. The thing that brings the miracles is the exaltation of Jesus. The Holy Spirit Himself comes and exalts Jesus. And He lifts Him to the forefront because there's going to be no greater power to change the world. Jesus is not coming again to change everything. The power that will change the world is the blood of Jesus, the work of the cross. And we're a people that must believe what He has said and take it deep into our spirits and trust Him. So I'm going to share with you tonight just a few things from the book of Colossians. Would you turn to me there? And we're going to just look at a few things as we just take a little time to go right through the Word of God. Is that okay? I'd like you to look at the Scriptures and see the great things that the Lord has for us here. Father, we ask You to touch our spirits again tonight and release us, O God, into Your presence to know Your Word and to be changed into Your likeness and see the very power that's before us to bring about great change in our communities. We thank You for this church, what You're doing, what You're going to do, and we praise You, Lord, in advance for the great miracles that we're about to see. And we believe that we'll see miracles this week as we trust and praise You together. We thank You for Your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Look with me in verse 1. Paul says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, secondly, by the will of God, thirdly, with his brother Timothy. Today is a day when people are talking about the apostolic or the fatherly spirit that's filling the earth. There's all kinds of questions about it. But God is really releasing the Father's Spirit into the church so that we can fulfill the will and purpose of God. Paul declares to these people as he's writing to them at this particular time who he is and the place that he has come to. I am, he says, an apostle, not of myself. This is not of me. This is not what I say. I am an apostle of Jesus Christ. Every word that the apostle Father speaks brings the thing back to Jesus. For we need to understand that the only power that will make a difference is Jesus Christ himself. So the apostle is the one who recognizes this right from the beginning. I would to God that many of leaders today would understand this. When we refer to what God is doing so that others can understand, is that God is raising up fathers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without Jesus functioning in the midst and bringing about His purposes, things won't change. But we need to understand that it hits His power. Secondly, the apostle says here that I am called this by the will of God. This is not the will of man. This is not something that I've made up. This is something that has been proven because God has called me into this particular position. And God is raising up those kind of spiritual leaders to speak into the church today. If there's anything that God has done in our lives, is through the years caused us to recognize that by His will, He wants us to speak into the church His purpose. And His purpose is centered around the person of Jesus. Jesus is moving right tonight in this room. Miracles are about to take place, I believe, tonight and all week long as we trust Him and come into His presence. And we really believe that it's all about Him. And if He's at the forefront of everything, we're okay. What we need mostly is the presence of Jesus functioning and working in our lives and in our church. And that's the real thing. God is going to do amazing things as He teaches us and uses the people to bring about the end time purpose. And many will be used in their talents. We'll be using many, many of the things that we see in the world today. Like, for instance, the internet. We are in a time when there's more information than there's ever been before in the world. And actually, the scriptures tell us to whom much is given, much is required. So therefore, because we are in an age when information is traveling like this, we have a responsibility to use whatever we can to get whatever we need to complete the task. But if we don't keep Jesus in it and the person in it and the power and the presence of Jesus functioning in what is taking place, we can very quickly just slip over into the realm of man's knowledge alone. And so we have to be called all the time back to a place where you understand that it's Him. That's what the apostle was doing at this particular time. Now I want you to notice this. He said, it's not only me, but it's Timothy. It's so important for us to see. It's never just about me and what I say. It's about what I say and about what you say. What we're learning in the kingdom of God is to understand that I need you and I hope you need me. And that it's as we work together that we bring about the purposes of God. And the apostle made this known so it would help us to understand this. We're here in this week. It's not just about Pastor Paul, who's one part of the Ukes of Hazard. This is about Pastor Paul and, everybody say with me, Pastor Paul and Pastor Ted. One thing I've learned in my life after years of ministry that I must get away from thinking that I'm getting some kind of revelation that's greater than everybody else. The full revelation is going to come from us together to bring forth the purpose of God. I've been walking for a long time with this pastor. And there's sometimes when we get together just to talk and share. We've walked on the golf course together. We don't play very good golf because we talk too much. And we touch one another's spirit. And he's one that declares that we've been given the right to speak into his life. But you know what, my friends? There's times that he speaks into my life. Because this is what it's about. It's about understanding that we're in this together. It's never just me. It's me and someone else. This is where so often we get off in our teaching, even in doctrine or truth. Because we want to keep it to one truth, like deliverance or healing or something else. Really, it's about this and that. It's not about what you got, but what we got together. And as we do it together, we will bring about the full measure of Jesus Christ in the earth. For the manifestation of Jesus in the earth is in us together. And as we come together, we will complete the will and purpose of God. And so the apostle understood this, and he was very careful when he presented who he was in being a fatherly leader to help them understand that it was just wasn't about him. It's me and Timothy. Now, it could have been someone else. There were other leaders that he worked with by the glory of God. In verse 2, it says, to the saints and the faithful. Some have really recognized that in this scripture, he's speaking to two different groups. Because often the saints aren't faithful, and the faithful don't act like saints. And he was talking to different groups that are in the church. But he was talking to them all. And understanding that they all needed to respond to the Lord. So we must never get caught up in thinking that we're more holy than anyone else that sits in the church. And that God has a greater purpose for us than someone else. He wants to talk to everyone so we fulfill the will and pattern of God. And God brings forth His purpose. To the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ who are at Colossae. And notice when He's speaking to this church, He speaks to the city or the town. The church in the town. This church is a church in the town, Dunville and the surrounding area. The area is pretty big, but this church is a church in the town. And God wants to touch the whole locality. That's why you've been partaking in it and entering into it for some time of joining together with many other great churches and involvements for God in the area and sharing your spirit and getting together and declaring that God is going to do something in you together. That comes from the heart of God. You haven't been doing that for nothing. You've been doing it with the call of God upon your spirit to fulfill the plan. And God has a purpose for all of Dunville. Everybody say that with me? God has a purpose for all of Dunville and the surrounding area. And we're a part of that in Jesus' name. Verse 3. Pardon me, the last part of verse 2. Grace
to you and peace. Now, this is where I want you to see and understand that it's always truths put together. Some people today get off on the message of grace. It's all they talk about. It's their only emphasis. But God shows us in the Word, it's never just one thing alone. It's always this with that. Now, it could be something else. It might be grace and love or whatever it is, but He wanted us to understand in the Word that it's more than just one thing. And so many get called into areas of extreme teaching on certain doctrines because they don't understand the full measure of the Word of the Lord. So it's grace to you and peace from God our Father and, everybody say, and the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the greatest words in the Bible, in my estimation, is the word and. Because it connects and it shows agreement or unity, because one is as important as the other. And this is all over the Word of God as you see it coming forth. So grace and peace to you from the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't preach the Father without preaching Jesus. And you can't preach Jesus without understanding the Father. And God wants us to have the full measure of this in our lives. Verse 3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, the spirit of prayer and thanksgiving in the house. Now that's really what our time tonight of rejoicing and praise was about. If we really understand what rejoicing and praise is, we understand that it's a spirit of thanksgiving. I mean, I don't have time tonight, and I'm sure you don't neither, but if we put down the numbers of things that God has done in Jubilee over the last 30 years, we couldn't have pages long enough to write all the good things that the Lord God Almighty has done. And yet we get caught up at a certain moment in the struggle that we're in at this moment, and we put it to the forefront instead of carrying a thankful heart for all that God has done. We had a small group meeting a time ago where one group that was meeting in a small group in a home started to write down all the things that the Lord had done in the last year. And when it came to a year end, they had written down 160 miracles. I mean, real miracles that were documented by the power of God. God wants to change the whole attitude of the church so we understand what thanksgiving is all about. And we pray with a heart that comes from the Lord in that. Verse 4, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, everybody say again, and of your love for all the saints. So we heard of your faith and your love, and the same principle that I'm bringing to you right now, I believe God wants us to understand and for this church to get it settled in you. Every one of you are important. It's me and you together. It's always sharing together. It's never anyone being of a bad spirit or being down or critical toward one another. It's always that we need me and you. And we need the whole Word to bring about God's plan and His purpose. So, since we heard of your faith and your love for all the saints. Verse 5, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. Verse 6, which has come to you and has also come into all the world. So the truth has not only come to us, but it's come into the entire world. And is bringing forth fruit, and it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God. So you have to hear it and know it. Everybody say with me, we hear it and we know it. It's not just a matter of hearing it, it's a matter of getting it into your spirit so you live by what God has said. So the full measure of the truth comes to us when we see that God wants it all for us. Verse 7, and you also learn from Epaphras. Now he was the pastor of this church. And here we have now the great apostle who's exalting him and lifting him up and putting him in a high place before the people. And understanding who he was, and that he had a word to bring. As you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. Now the church that will prosper is the church that really understands that the pastor that God has put over the house is here because of your behalf. When we understand that, it's not about him, it's about all of us. And the Apostle Paul, at this time of sharing, when all this false truth was trying to fill the church, was bringing them back to an understanding of how important it was to see all of this together. And so he lifted up the pastor that was leading the church. Verse 8, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. Love in the Spirit. Now, verse 9 begins a prayer. Look at the prayer. Why don't you read it with me, everybody, whatever translation you have. If you're looking at it there, read it with me, would you? We'll start in verse 9. Let's read down through verse 12. Read it aloud with me. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious purpose, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who hath qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. That's enough for there. Let's go back and look at it a little bit in verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Now, this is what they prayed. To ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So what we should be praying is that every person among us will be filled with the will of God and spiritual understanding. Verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. It used to be, some years ago, when my brother and I were together in ministry, often how we would minister is we worked together. One of us would minister in a Sunday morning meeting, another would minister at a Sunday night, and we would just go back and forth. But sometimes we would preach together. And if something was needed to be said that one or the other was receiving from God at the particular moment, we gave one another the right just to jump up right away and say it. Now, I don't mind if you do that. Really, because God is speaking some things that He wants us to see. But what brought this to my mind with this particular scripture, because Pastor Ted was saying us today that it's one thing to love the Lord, it's another thing to please Him. And what God is wanting us to understand, really, that we must live a pure life because, not just because we say we love Him, but we want to please Him. If you want to really please the Jesus who redeemed you, who brought about life into your spirit, then we are compelled to live a holy life. And if there's sin in our lives or weights or things that are holding us back, it's important for us to begin to understand that we can get help. That's why today we have things that we call encounters. God is opening up every avenue for every believer to be freed from whatever he needs to be freed from because he totally wants to please the Lord. Now, when you think about it for a moment, all that Jesus Christ has done for us to redeem us, it's so absolutely amazing and powerful. Would you want to spend one moment of your life not pleasing Him? We are called to please the Lord. And God wants us to be a group of saints that will realize that and enjoy it and want it in our lives. So if you've got more to say about that, Pastor Ted, you just go ahead and say it. Anyway, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Verse 11, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Everybody say that with me. For all patience and long-suffering with joy. Anybody here learning patience and long-suffering where you're at in your spiritual walk? Anybody dare put your hand up with me and say, Pastor Paul, I'm learning that. And I understand how important it is to stay in patience. It's the greatest truth that you can learn in the kingdom of God. It's to be a people who are full of patience and long-suffering. I've been now 38 years in ministry. Is that how long you've been in ministry to? 39. Who do you think's older, him or me? Yeah, you know. He said he was in ministry for 39 years. And we know till this day, after serving God for this amount of time, giving ourselves into the church, there's still so much that we're walking in patience about. It's not all fulfilled yet. But it will be fulfilled. And God wants us to learn to walk in patience and long-suffering. What happens, so many people don't understand that Jesus is our source to keep us patient and to keep us in a good spirit. Because when everything goes wrong, He never goes wrong. And we learn to put our attention upon Him and exalt Him and praise Him all the time. And so we learn to keep ourselves in patience and long-suffering. Verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. You see, it's the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the blessings of Jesus. One of the things that wants to defeat us in our Christian walk the most is our qualifications. Now, I know Pastor Ralph won't say this to me right here, but he knows that the way the enemy wants to defeat us the most in our walk with God is through qualifications. That you never feel like you're qualified to do everything that needs to be done. Well, the truth of the matter is you're not in yourself. And you have to learn that sooner or later so that you can be effective for God. Hear me on this. This is so important for us to understand. It's not my failures or my successes that gives me power with God. It's the blood of Jesus. It's Jesus Himself who cleanses me from all unrighteousness. It's Jesus who dwells within me. I used to live my whole life in ministry feeling people don't accept me because I'm not quite as qualified as everybody else. It has nothing to do with anything about producing the glory of God. You being here in a small town in the heart of southern Ontario could think that you don't have all the qualifications that people over in the city have. But all you have to do is go over there for a while and you understand they don't have the qualifications neither. The enemy spends his whole time trying to destroy us through insecurity. And he wants to bring us low through our inferiorities. And he wants to take away our self-esteem. All that has to happen to this church is for you to strongly realize, not for a moment, for a day or for a week, but for all the days of your life, that your self-esteem is found in Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, and that it's His power that will make the difference. The apostle was spending all this time to bring this to this small town church, Colossae, and help them to understand really what made the difference. And it's Jesus Christ that makes a difference so that we can have a small town mega church. Nothing's impossible with Him. I am the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. Not because of what I do, but because of what He did. I stand today cleansed. I am healed. I am restored because of the work of the cross and what Jesus Christ has done. And when we understand that and live in that every day of our lives, we will be victorious. So I'm not qualified because of what I do, the great things I've done. I went around for some time thinking, well, you know, we worked together in Eastern Canada in Rock Church, and I'm not there anymore. We worked for a lot of time with the Canadian Fellowship of Churches and Ministers, as some of you know, and I'm not there anymore. I pastored a church in Toronto for over 20 years. Now my son's the pastor. Everybody knows where I'm going with this, don't you? And the enemy comes and he wants to say to me all the time that it looks like I don't have any qualifications anymore. It has nothing to do with my qualifications. My successes aren't going to make me victorious. My failures aren't going to make me victorious. It doesn't matter. It's all incidental. What's important is that you understand who Jesus is. And that you walk in the might of His power and you're dead to all the rest of it. Real fathers, like the Apostle Paul was, that come into the church, tell you need to die to yourself. There's just too much self-thinking. There's so many things that keeps us centered on me. And I feel in the church world in the last little while, it's gotten worse. And God wants to turn that around. I think He wants to turn it around in Dunnville, in Jubilee Faith Center, because there's an inheritance here of truth. That God wants not only spoken, but He wants it lived. So that we can be all that God wants us to be by the grace of God. Amen. Everybody say with me, amen. Amen. Verse 12 then, and we'll say it again. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. One of the greatest things we need to understand to come into deliverance is that Jesus has already done the work at the cross. This is so important to see. People get hung up over deliverance all the time. What you need to understand is act and fact. The act has taken place, but the fact is you're not applying what took place. And so you need to be delivered so that you can walk in what Jesus did. People have said to me over and over again, you know, Jesus, come and heal me, come and heal me, come and heal me. The fact of the matter is, He did it. The act has been accomplished at the cross. The price has been paid. There's not going to be another work. I don't care how many times you get up and scream and holler and shout at God, it's not going to bring the power to heal you. The power to heal you has been accomplished at the cross of Jesus. And God wants to bring a church like this right back to the place where you understand that He's at the forefront of everything. You're going to see many things happen here that are going to lead this church on to victory to be what God wants it to be in Dunnville and the surrounding area. But the important thing is that Jesus is residing in it all. And that we understand Him in our lives. Hallelujah to Him forevermore. So He has delivered us. He has healed us. All the work has been done. My wife and I have been enjoying this in our lives just every day when we talk to God in prayer together, is really consciously, by our own spirit and choice, realizing that when we say that we're healed, we constantly think of the work of the cross. It's the work of the cross. It's where it's been done. And we walk in that every day of our lives. So important for us to understand that in our Christian walk. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Thank God for redemption and that we see this power working in us by the Lamb of God. Verse 15, He is the image. Why don't you read this all with me? And I'm just going to go down to verse 20, okay, and then we'll stop. Read this with me aloud. Verse 15 on. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head over the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him whether there are things on earth or in heaven. Hallelujah, church. We got the answer, and He's alive and well and working in this place. And what the apostle understood for the church of Colossae to be the mega church that God was calling it to be, and they actually say that that small church became absolutely instrumental and powerful in the whole area, taking over political spheres, education, all kinds of things were done by the people of understanding who they are and the power that they dwelled in through Jesus Christ. For Jesus is the answer. He is the only one. Hallelujah. And God again wants to remind Jubilee that He is the one. And that His presence needs to be exalted and praised here like never before. I don't care how much we've praised Him before, God wants it to multiply in excitement in this house. God wants to bring it back to us to understand and know that Jesus Christ is working in us. And whatever it is the pastor directs us in, we see Jesus in it. And when Jesus is in it, things begin to change. Hallelujah. I'll just say this. Let me look at that again. And I'll say this to you in closing. Jesus, in this particular scripture, is our grace. Jesus, our peace. Jesus, our faith. Jesus, our love. Jesus, our hope. Jesus, our deliverer. Jesus, our King. Jesus, our Redeemer. Jesus, the image of God. Jesus, our Creator. Jesus, the head of the church. And Jesus, our reconciler, who reconciles the world back to Himself. Jesus Christ is seen in every aspect of this to bring about His glory. And the Lord wants to see that really established stronger than ever in this place. And understanding and knowing who we are. I was just at a meeting in Toronto. And I heard an Iraqi speak. And it absolutely astounded me. The presence so filled the room. And I felt the Lord saying to me that this presence that I felt at that moment is coming to Jubilee. Like it's a presence that's so thick. It's His presence that makes the difference. And when we have the presence, we have all we need. I've seen and felt the presence in this church. But I don't think it's anything like what God is going to do when we grab on to the full measure of who He is and live by it. And walk in it all the days of my life. So I heard this, I can't even say his name, so I won't try, an Iraqi brother. I heard him speak just the other day in Toronto and absolutely swept me off my feet. He was born and raised in Iraq, and he went into the Hezbollah in Iraq. He became part of Hezbollah. A lot of people think it's just over in Palestine and Lebanon and Gaza and so on, but there's a whole force of them that are there in Iraq. He gave himself to every kind of wickedness that you could imagine. He really was interesting to listen to because he said that you people are so different in your emotions in North America than we are in the Mideast. He said, we're black and white. And you're everything. I love you. I love you a little bit. I love you this way. I love you if you do this. He said, we Iraqis are black and white. He said, we either love you or we kill you. And he was just trying to express some of the things of way the way they think, and it's so different. And he said he was brought up in this right in the heart of Islam, and he was taught the Quran. He said at the age of 14 he had memorized the entire Quran, where he could memorize it from cover to cover. He knew all the certain statements about Islam. And he could quote them at any given time. He would keep all the prayer times. And he said, everything that we did was with this idea that the infidels of the earth must be put away. And he said, it's all over Islam. And he said, I lived this life. He said, at the age of 18, he was involved in the murder of so many people. And he said, we were taught this. He said, I was taught before I was 20 that I would walk on over areas where mines were, and it didn't matter if I was blown up because I would just go to heaven and be before Almighty God. He said there wasn't anybody that understood the ways of Islam more than I did. He said I knew it, but he said I was completely controlled by the spirit of this thing, which really wanted to destroy Christianity and the rest of the world. And he said I'd given myself to it totally. One day he said I was sitting all by myself in a room. And he said an evil force that he called a demon came into the room. And he said it was so ugly and so awesomely powerful that he became extremely alarmed. And he said, I quoted very quickly every verse of the Quran that I could quote. And he said, it did nothing for me. He said, I quoted all the statements of faith in Islam and it did nothing for me. He said, I prayed every prayer that I could pray. He said, we were taught to go down on our knees and pull our knees up to our face and put our head in our knees and pray. And if we prayed in a certain manner, we could break this. And he said, the thing just stayed there and kept slowly coming toward me. And he said, I felt I was about to be destroyed by this thing. And he said, at a particular moment, one thought came to my mind because I had heard the name of Jesus. And he said, in this turmoil of this evil spirit coming against me, he said, I said very quickly, Jesus, if you're alive, help me. And he said, just like that, the spirit left the room. Just like that, the spirit left the room. He said, I didn't find Jesus as my Lord at that moment, but he said, I couldn't forget what happened. And he said, so now from that time on, every prayer that I prayed in Islam and every place that I went, I would, as I was praying my routine and everything, I couldn't stop thinking about the name Jesus. The name Jesus. And he said, so all my prayer times, everything I did, he said, the name kept coming before me. The name just kept
coming before me. And then he said that in Islam, and being in the Hezbollah, he had done something wrong, and he was treated wrongly and taken and put in prison. As he was in prison, as he stayed there in prison, he sat in one corner just crying out to Allah to help him because of the terrible turmoil that was coming over him. He said, I was absolutely desperate. And again, he said, I quoted every scripture of the Quran. I prayed every prayer I knew how to pray in Islam. He said, I did everything I knew how to do. And he said, the more I did it, the guiltier I got. He said, I sat in the corner and I asked God to forgive me for what I've done. But he said, they're taught in Islam that you can never know you're forgiven. You can ask God for forgiveness or Allah for forgiveness, but you'll never know you're forgiven till you get to the judgment. Now you talk about the turmoil of that. You can never know you're forgiven. And he said, so I cried out to Allah, forgive me, and nothing happened. And he said, I'm sitting there in this terrible turmoil of all this going over in my mind, and I feel a tap on the shoulder. He said, I turned around, and at this point, the tears just rolled out of his eyes. I felt a tap on the shoulder. And he said, I turned around to look who spoke to me, and I said, who are you? And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And my name is Jesus. He said, at that particular moment, he opened his heart and received Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, into his life. And from that day to this, he said, I am absolutely, totally, every day filled with the presence of Jesus. And understanding that he is far above it all. I'm telling you, God wants to bring us back to the place of rejoicing in who he is. Jesus, the Son of God. Now his presence is here. He's come here tonight because he wants to touch us and restore us. He wants us to be refreshed. He wants us to understand and know how much he loves us and how much he cares for us, and he wants to fill Jubilee with the glory of his presence. His presence is thick. And he wants to captivate the heart of every one of us to believe what he has said to us about his plan and purpose for this place. And I believe with all my heart, I've heard it for years, over 20 years I've been a part of this particular church and what's taking place here, and I've heard it said that God wants this place to touch society here. Yeah. And the way we'll do that is by putting him at the forefront. Amen. And so it's as we sing and we worship and we adore and give ourselves to him totally that everything that we do will be anointed by his awesome presence. Amen. I'd like you all to stand with me, would you? Is the worship team still here? There we go. Could you guys give us a song of worship about Jesus? Something about Jesus, Chris? And we together are going to lift our hands in exaltation, okay? Could I get you, when the music begins, we're going to lift our hands together. Could I ask you that not one person in this room would not respond to the presence by opening your heart in worship? All the lifting of hands is just an act of surrender. It's actually saying, Lord, you're God. And fill us with your presence. And I believe that the Lord wants to begin to do miracles here tonight. And we're going to, in a moment, we're going to pray. We're going to ask you if you would like to come for prayer. And we're going to believe that God is going to touch you tonight because the presence is here. It has to do with nothing else other than the presence. Jesus, the Son of God, is alive and well in Jubilee. Amen? And He's about to do incredible things. But we need to worship Him. Let's lift our hands together and worship. Give us a worship song, okay? Yeah. Bless you, Jesus.